Rolling
early.
Moving.
Mr. Early.
So who has Mr. Early? He's at Meadows.
Yeah, we're at Meadows.
What's the name?
What's the location? Medical Row. Okay, so the Honorable Mr. Rick Arise is going to conduct your hearing at this time, sir.
Sir, can you hear me clearly?
Yes.
Can you state your full name and ADC number for the record?
Willie Tom 30-113-115.
Thank you, sir. Good morning.
Good morning.
You are appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is about the three alleged violations listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on January 2nd, 2019. Is that correct, sir?
Yes.
That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you can hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. See no attorney with you, or you're representing yourself today, sir.
I was with the Community Bridges. I think one of them is there as a representative of Community Bridges along with my family.
Okay, sir. Do you have an attorney? Is there an attorney here representing Mr. Early?
There's somebody in the back that's not.
Oh, okay. Mr. Early, you have some people in the room that will probably testify on your behalf, but I was asking if you have an attorney that's representing you today.
No.
Thank you, sir. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. If you can see on your video conference screen, I'll begin with the board members on the opposite side of the bench. Working toward me, we have the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. At the center of the bench, we have our esteemed Board Chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. Next to me is Honorable Mr. David Neal, and my name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel lead for this hearing. Also present in the room is our Community Corrections Hearings Officer, Mr. Turner, and he will be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer. Before we get started, I need to swear you in. So, Mr. Early and Mr. Turner, you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm.
I do,
and I need to make an amendment to the warrant.
Okay, 1 second.
On the top of page one, the date of offense shows 10/26/2014. That is incorrect. It should be 11/27/2014.
Thank you, sir, and I've made the correction. Mr. Early, that was just a notation from our Community Corrections Hearings Officer on your date of offense. They had printed the wrong date, and we just made that correction. Your date of offense was November 27, 2014. Okay, Mr. Early, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of supervision, and phase two, deciding whether your supervision should be continued or revoked. And keep in mind, there's a separate motion that passes this hearing from phase one to phase two. When I read the allegations to you, you need to respond whether they are true or false. If you believe an allegation is false, the board will take testimony from the Department of Corrections, and we can talk about it. But keep in mind, the board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you, sir?
Yes.
I will begin phase one of this hearing by reading from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in the criminal arrangement company as follows. Allegation number one, violation of condition number seven, as demonstrated by your use of methamphetamine on or about December 7th, 2018, for the task GCMS lab report dated December 13th, 2018. Mr. Early, is this true or false?
False.
Thank you, sir. Allegation number two, violation of condition number seven is demonstrated by a failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on December 11, 2018 for the task individual testing compliance summary dated. You failed to submit a specimen on December 11th, 2018 as directed. Mr. Early, is this true or false?
True.
Thank you. And allegation number three, violation of condition number seven, is demonstrated by the use of methamphetamine on or about December 13, 2018 for the task lab report dated December 17, 2018. Mr. Early, is this true or false?
False.
Okay. So, based on your submissions of false for allegations one and three, we are going to hear testimony of the violation report from our community corrections officer, and then we'll come back to you for a few short questions, and then the board will make a motion to consider passing this hearing from phase one to phase two. Okay, sir?
Okay.
Mr. Turner.
Yes, sir. On 12-7-2018, the offender was staffed with parole supervisor Fleshman in regards to the offender's third positive UA test for methamphetamine at Beavery. The offender was adamant that he had used methamphetamine. The offender was directed to provide a specimen for testing at task on 12-7-2018. The offender submitted a urine specimen for testing at task. For the task GSMS lab report dated 12-13-2018, the specimen the offender submitted was positive for methamphetamine. Follow-up to number one, on 12-14-2018, the offender was staffed by CCO Wake and Senior Parole Officer Ginter. The offender was confronted with the fact that his UAs were positive for methamphetamine. The offender admitted to using methamphetamine. Allegation number three. On 12-11-2018, CCO Wake received an email from Beaver staff indicating that the offender had tested positive for methamphetamine use per Beaver UA dip test. On 12-11-2018, the offender was verbally directed by CCO Wake through Beaver staff to submit a urine specimen for testing at task on that day. The offender failed to provide a specimen for testing on 12-11-2018. On 12-13-2018, CCO Wake called the offender and asked him why he did not provide a urine specimen for testing on 12-11-2018 as directed. The offender stated that he just wasn't able to make it. CCO Wake explained that the task is literally two blocks from his approved residence. On 12-13-2018, the offender was verbally redirected by CCO Wake to submit a urine specimen for testing at task that day. On 12-13-2018, the offender submitted a urine specimen for testing at task. For the task GCMS lab report dated 12-17-2018, the offender submitted the specimen the offender submitted was positive for methamphetamine. Follow up to number three, on 12-14-2018, the offender was staffed by CCO Wake and Senior Parole Officer Ginter. The offender was confronted with the fact that his UAs were positive for methamphetamine. The offender self-admitted to using methamphetamine.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Back to you, Mr. Early. Now, keep in mind, in the first phase of the hearing, we do not get into deep questioning, but in general, why are allegations 1 and 3, in which you had positives for methamphetamine, false?
Yes, I was around people that were using methamphetamine, but I didn't use them. And if it said that I was positive for the methamphetamine, then yes, that's why I said that I was guilty of that, because I was around it, but I didn't use it.
Okay, sir. Then I'm going to go and make a motion to pass this hearing from phase one to phase two. And that is based on Mr. Early's admission for allegation number two and based on information provided by the Department of Corrections for allegations one and three, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have or have lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Okay. Okay. Seconded by the Honorable Mr. Neal, agreed upon by the Honorable Dr. Wright, the Honorable Mr. Johnson, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. Okay, Mr. Early, we're going to continue the second phase of the hearing. And it is during this phase that the board will determine whether or not your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Turner, our Community Corrections Hearings Officer, is going to give us additional background information about your case. If you'll just stay on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly for questions, and you will be able to speak to the board in detail, okay, sir?
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Irby. Mr. Turner.
Yes, sir. Irby was released from ADC custody on 10-23-2018 and arrested on 12-14-2018 by ADC on a tech warrant. No new charges are noted. Is returned back to ADC custody on 12-14-2018 with a CSED of 5-24-2019, zero abscondes. Current convictions, 2014, commitment E, count one, theft, 1 year, 9 months. 2014, commitment F, count one, robbery, 4 years, 6 months. Prior convictions, 1993, marijuana violation, 1 year, 6 months. 1994, aggravated assault, 5 years. 1999, aggravated assault, 9 years. 2000, burglary, first degree, 12 years, 6 months. This is his third term in ADC with a CUIR score of 3-3, mental health score of 3, substance abuse score of 2. STD information, self-admitted to being a member of the criminal street gang Avondale 107th Avenue Gangster Crip. Prior terms of supervision, 1999, TIS release, arrested on new charges revoked by BOEC. 2012, TIS release, arrested, revoked by BOEC. Disciplinary is significant and lengthy with weapons, violence, rioting, conspiracy, stalking. Noted, after his return to custody, he did receive disciplinary for theft, which he was found guilty of a minor violation on 1-17-2019. Other arrest, 1994, failure to appear, second degree, Arizona unknown. He has a GB score of G6V8.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Back to you, Mr. Early. I'm going to make a quick review of your case supervision summary. It looks like that you were released from the Department of Corrections initially without placement on October 23, 2018. During your initial intake, you were directed to establish residence at 2501 West Elm Street in Phoenix. On October 23rd, 2018, you established residence as directed. No other address was requested or approved by you. We do not have any employment notes, so Mr. Early, were you working anywhere during your community supervision?
I was trying to work at Walmart, but I didn't get the job because I wasn't allowed to go and get a job because of the halfway house that I was at. But I did want to work.
Thank you, sir. And again, was V-Way the only halfway house that you were at?
Yes.
Okay. For some programming notes, you referred to intake at task VIN of the day program with the assigned PIN number of 3115. You submitted urine specimens that were negative, and as directed by the PIN on October 30, 2018, November 9, 2018, and November 19, 2018, you provided urine specimens as directed by Community Corrections Officer Wade that were positive for methamphetamine on December 7, 2018 and December 13, 2018. You failed to test as directed on December 11, 2018. Now, I said we could talk in detail.
Okay.
You're saying that you were allowing people that were using methamphetamine, and that's a little hard to understand. We don't receive reports of any sort of secondary ingestion of methamphetamine. So what are you saying? You allowed people that were smoking methamphetamine and the smoke got into you, or?
Yes. Yes.
Well, sir, it happened twice. And I'm not getting in an argument with you, so were you around people on two separate occasions that were smoking a lot of methamphetamine?
It was around at the place was where I was residing and where I had my bed space. So yes, it was going on, but I did not use it. But I know to keep me in the straight and on the path for me to do right, that's why I was at Community Bridges, because yes, I did have a problem with that before. And I went to Community Bridges so that I could keep myself on the right line.
Thank you for that testimony, Mr. Early. I'm going to ask a quick question from our community corrections officer, Mr. Turner.
Yes, sir.
It seems like that there was a considerable amount of methamphetamine in his confirmation tests. I'm certainly not asking you as a pharmacological expert, but are there any reports of secondary ingestion of that level from methamphetamine that you're aware of?
In my experience, I've never heard of that.
Okay. I just, I like that follow-up. And I will say in the open, that doesn't sound very reasonable, that the amount of methamphetamine would show up in someone's bloodstream without ingestion. Mr. Early, do keep in mind there was quite a bit of methamphetamine that was in your bloodstream. And we don't have any experience with that amount of methamphetamine showing up in somebody's bloodstream from just being around methamphetamine. And you did admit...
I used it one time.
Okay. When did you use methamphetamine, sir?
The last time.
Okay, sir. Thank you for being honest with the board. Sanctions notes, you were slapped by your senior parole officer on October 3, 2018 for a positive UA at the Beaver Halfway House for methamphetamine. You're directed to continue the building blocks program. You failed to complete the program. You were slapped by full supervisor Fleshman on December 7, 2018 for your third positive UA at Beaver for methamphetamine. You're directed to continue with the building blocks program, which you did not complete.
The only reason I didn't complete it is because I got violated, because I was a phase two. They made me a phase two in the program, and I would have been able to work. That's the only reason it wasn't completed, because I was going to the meetings.
Well, it certainly sounds like your parole staff was trying to work with you, and you were going through some programming for drug use. So did you have any past history with methamphetamine use before you... Okay, you did. And out in the street before you were arrested?
Yes.
And did you have any ongoing use inside the Department of Corrections, sir?
No.
Okay. So how long have you been able to stay clean from methamphetamine since you returned to the Department of Corrections?
Yes.
Okay. How long have you been clean, sir?
This whole time I've been in.
So since December 14th? Which is about, I guess, 5 weeks ago. I commend you for staying clean. What is your plan for dealing with your drug use in the future, Mr. Early? And I say this because if you keep returning to, even if it's sometimes use with methamphetamine, we're probably going to end up seeing you again before this board, and we want to see you succeed. So what is your plan?
Continue with Community Bridges. That's why I went to them in the first place, because I knew that I needed help, not just with the drug, but with help for me to be able to get a job and being able to have programming. that's why they're there today, because that's what I was doing, because when he called me, I was there at Community Bridges.
Thank you, sir.
He asked me how come I didn't drop the UA.
Thank you for giving us that information, Mr. Early, and we certainly appreciate Community Bridges' mission. Let me ask my fellow board members, do they have any questions for me? How many questions from fellow board members? Mr. Early, because you have some supporters in the room, I'm going to take this time to ask them if either of them have anything that they wish to share with the board. I just read it right now. There's just only one. So, ma'am, if you can say your name.
My name is Wendy Rogers. I am the clinical care coordinator for Community Bridges. I work on Factory, so we receive a lot of our members from DOC who are conference innovators, and we completed an intake with him on December 12th to transfer him onto the team, mm-hmm. Which he was arrested on the 14th, so we didn't really have the opportunity to work with him on his treatment. He does have access to two counselors where he will get individual counseling, weekly groups. We also hold a meeting for Thinking for Change, which allows them to change their thinking and to work on their behavior. But we didn't get the opportunity to do that because he had gotten arrested on the 14th. Our goal for his treatment is to help him find meaningful activities in the community. And, you know, assist him with his medication, making sure that he's taking it. Because what we do is we meet them out in the community up to four times a week. So our treatment is very assertive, and it's very hands-on. So he didn't have the opportunity for us to engage with him. And so if he is let out, that is something that the clinical team would like to do. And to meet with him regularly, to have him meet with the counselor, so he can get the help that he needs, because he's SMI, which is seriously mentally ill. So that's, you know. And we also like to coordinate with the parole officer, because for some of our members, like, we also do UAs, and so we relate that information to the parole officer, to the probation officer, so we're all on the same page. Hold weekly staffings if needed. Just to ensure that they receive the care that they need. So that's our role in his life.
Thank you, ma'am. I do want to say again, we do appreciate, well, I'd have to speak as an individual voting board member, but I certainly appreciate what you do for the community. And I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. Thank you so much. Thank you for appearing today. Okay, Mr. Early, we're getting close. Oh, hold on. Are there any other individuals who wish to speak on behalf of Mr. Early, just to make sure? Mr. Early, we're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We really ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us, but this is your hearing, so is there anything else that you feel is important for us to know or understand before this board goes into discussion and votes on this case?
That I hope that I could be able to get back out and get counseling and help. If you guys feel that I could get another chance so that I can better myself.
Thank you, Mr. Early. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like that we're speaking with you directly, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself under the open meeting laws of Arizona. So if you'll just stay on the phone and remain silent, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, I certainly appreciate what we heard from Community Bridges. I know one of the issues that this board is confronted with routinely is we don't necessarily have the ability to place individuals into particular programs. We certainly can recommend that the parole officer place them in a program, but we can't directly, we can't make direct recommendations to any particular program. So I do appreciate Mr. Early telling us that he did use methamphetamine when he initially stated that was false, and it does sound like that he has a struggle with drug abuse. Also, I agree with him about the importance of having a support team in your placement in the community. I'm just not sure if I'm finding him a suitable candidate for returning to community supervision, but that's where I'd like to begin the discussion. Yes, the Honorable Ms. Gilman.
Thank you, Mr. Quinones. I'm just not comfortable with the fact that he has had two prior terms of community supervision and was arrested with either new felony or arrested for some other reason and revoked. So I think he has trouble following conditions.
Thank you. That's a very good point, and I did circle and check those. It's always good that we have these discussions. It's easy to get fixated on a few issues. Any further input from further colleagues? Yes.
I'm in agreement. I think he has to make a decision himself that he really wants to do it, even if he was to participate. I do thank him for coming out from Community Bridges, but I just don't see it. He's denying that he used on the first one and saying that he was just around people. However, his confirmation test levels are higher on the first one than they are on the second one, which on the second one he admits to using methamphetamine but denies it on the first one and has the higher test levels on the first one. So.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Ready for the input? I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, and that is based on the information provided to us in warrant number 2018-W3629, our discussion with Mr. Early, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Early was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed, or was about to lapse with a criminal related company, inasmuch that he relapsed into drug use, as noted by two separate tests that were positive for methamphetamine, and that is my motion.
Second.
Agreed.
Seconded by the Honorable Mr. Neal, agreed upon by the Honorable on the right, the Honorable Mr. Johnson, and the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. Mr. Early, your supervision has been revoked, but you will be released on or about May 24th, 2019. I recognize that may sound like a long time away, but it is really exactly 4 months. So we encourage you in these next 16 or so weeks to put together a plan for your return to the community. We did appreciate hearing from Community Bridges today, and hopefully you can seek a program such as that upon your return so that you can have a productive return to the community. I want to thank you for being so pleasant with the board. This hearing is concluded. No further discussion may take place, and Mr. Early, we'd appreciate it if you give the phone to your community, pardon me, to your CO3. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.